I've had a phrase on my mind and my heart for a week now, found in the book of Revelation. Turn with me, Revelation chapter 6. We're going to open the sixth seal. We start our vacation Bible school, and the theme this year is survival. And this passage of Scripture gives us a clear indication that only the saved survive. The Lord Jesus is coming back. He's coming back in power and great glory. Now, I know there's a lot of confusion. A lot of people have different interpretations about the opening of the seals and the book of Revelation in general. But I am convinced that this is having reference to the end of the world. I learned that when I was under conviction. The Holy Spirit convinced me that one of these days, the stars are going to fall from heaven. The sun's going to refuse to shine, and the moon is going to turn to blood. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come in power and great glory. That this world is going to be wrapped up in fire. The world's going to be destroyed. And this opening of this seal reveals that. Now, I'm convinced that at the opening of the seventh seal, you'll read about a huge pause where that there's angels that are holding back the waters or the winds and the destruction and the despair that will come upon that the earth when the Lord comes back. And there's a pause. And God is going to fulfill His purpose. And His purpose is revealed. I believe you can go right from the sixth seal right to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation and read about the great white throne. They link right up. This world's going to be destroyed, and you need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. But only, listen to me folks, only the saved survive. The Bible tells us in this opening of the seal about the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. And so I want to begin reading, starting in verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Now let me pause here. Jesus said, when he was talking about the destruction of the world and the destruction of the temple, there were three things that Jesus answered the disciples in the 24th chapter of Matthew. They asked him about the destruction of the temple, where one stone will not stand upon another. They asked him about some sign of his second coming and when the world would be destroyed. And Jesus told them that the sign would be his very visible presence. That's the only sign you're going to get. Are you ready for the visible return of the Lord? And he said, after the tribulation of these things, he said that the sun would be turned to black as sackcloth. He said the moon would be turned to blood. These are the words of Jesus Christ in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. If you want to turn there and read that, you're welcome to do so. And he also said that the stars would fall from heaven, and then the sign of the Son of Man would appear. He would be present, visibly present in his divine glory. And you need to be ready for that day. There are a lot of folks that are fully confused about the coming of the Lord. I believe in an imminent return of Christ. He could come at any moment. He could come today. And when he does, listen, that'll be it. There'll be no more opportunities. The door of mercy will have been shut. You won't have another opportunity to be saved and get right with God and get your sins under the blood. The time of opportunity will close upon the coming of the Lord. The wrath of the Lamb is come. So the world's going to be destroyed. Now let me pause here and say something. First of all, let me point out that the Bible teaches that at the coming of the Lord, that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. There's going to be a resurrection of those that have died prepared to meet God. Those that have got their sins under the blood of Jesus. Those that are born again of His Spirit. They're going to come forth. Those that have died and they have slept in Jesus. They're going to wake up in Jesus Christ. And they're going to receive their glorified bodies. And they're going to ascend to meet the Lord of the air. Those of us that are alive remain at the coming of the Lord. We're going to be changed in a moment, twinkling eye. will instantly get our glorified bodies, and we will be called up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, the destruction of the world, the saints are going to escape that. Hello? Yeah. The saints will escape the destruction of the world. We'll be with the Lord. And then fire and brimstone is going to come out of heaven to destroy this world. And those that are lost and undone that remain, they're going to not only die once, but they're going to die twice. So he talks about this cosmic calamity that's coming. Now listen, the prophets spoke about this. Isaiah spoke about this. Jeremiah spoke about this. Ezekiel spoke about this. The minor prophets spoke about this cosmic chaos that would come upon the world. Listen, if you don't know this, you need to know this. This world is going to be judged. The world. The universe is going to be judged by the Lord of glory. It's under a curse, and it will one day face the final tribunal of the Lamb of God. And so he talks about the sun and the moon and the stars falling from heaven. Listen, folks, when the stars come upon this world, the world will not be able to tolerate it. There will be such a destruction. The world will be consumed in fire as it is kept in store right now by the word of the Lord. There's going to be a destruction of this world. And you need to be ready. That's why this isn't our home like we sang a little earlier. Our home is in heaven. Listen, if you're putting all of your stock, if you're putting all of your investment of the life that you're now living in this world, one of these days your investment will fold. One of these days it'll be bankrupt. One of these days all that you put your trust in will fall ultimately, and you need something that will be able to withstand it. There's only one thing that's able to withstand the final destruction of this world, and it's the foundation that Jesus laid at Calvary. And so we read the breaking of this seal. And we read about the stars, verse 13, falling from heaven, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken in a mighty wind. And the heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. Every mountain, everybody say every. Every mountain. Every island were moved out of their place. Now we're talking about a cosmic chaos like none other. We're talking about the coming of the Lord. We're talking about the destruction that comes at His appearing. We're talking about the world being wrapped up in a ball of fire. We're talking about being ready for the day for the destruction of this world. Listen, this world is going to burn with fire and brimstone. You might say, preacher, you're sounding like one of them old-fashioned fireball, hallelujah kind of preachers that preach about a hellfire and brimstone. Yes, I am. But hallelujah, I'm saved. And I'm on my way to heaven. And you need to be right and ready for the coming of the Lord. Jesus said many times, several times, He said, be ready. Be ready. You don't know the day nor the hour of my coming. What are you supposed to be ready for? You're supposed to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Listen, it's time to get ready. The only way you can get ready is to get right with God. The only way you can get right with God is to trust in Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Listen, if you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, it's high time you get ready, not only for death, but for the judgment to come. Lord's coming. He said He's going to come in power and great glory. In that 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, He said at that point He's going to send His holy angels to the four corners of the world to gather the elect. Listen, we will escape. We will escape the destruction of the world. Not only that, but this ushers us in. It's a prelude. This opening of the sixth seal is a prelude of the great white throne of judgment, where all the world is summoned before the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. All right, let me read the rest of this. All right. He said the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. And who among us shall be able to stand? The wrath of the Lamb. Who will survive? Who will be able to survive the wrath of the Lamb? You know, we live in a very troublesome and perplexing day. Children are going through garbage cans looking for their next meal around the world. We live in a very terrible and difficult day where survival, the means to survive are on some people's minds every day. They get up and they're looking for a meal out of a garbage can to survive. Parents turning their children over to perhaps even drug lords or smugglers in hope to get them to America that they might survive life. Listen, we live in some troublesome and difficult times, and no doubt things have been birthed out of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit has belched out some fiery, terrible, dangerous things. The red dragon, the great beast, the false prophets, the frogs that come out of their mouths. We're living in some dangerous and difficult times. Who can survive these difficult times? Only those that have the mark of Jesus. The mark of Jesus is required to survive troublesome times. I guess all of us from time to time we question, how will we survive the aftermath of some calamity? You know, I've got some friends and they're young preachers and they are building bunkers. They are putting back dry food. They've stored up gold. I've got friends of mine, young Missionary Baptist preachers that are preparing to survive a great national calamity. You guys realize that? Maybe their eyes are more open than ours. Maybe their perception is greater than ours. I don't know. But let me share something. We're talking about the calamity of calamities. We're talking about the main thing that you need to survive. And I think it's great that we all have some survival skills. I was a Boy Scout. It's important to have some survival skills. You never know when you'll need them. How to start a fire, how to find game to eat, or how to build shelter. All those things are very important to our survival. And if we're in some kind of national calamity, the aftermath of our survival, the survival of our children and our families will be paramount. But listen, that is nothing. All of these judgments of times past, they are nothing in comparison to the great white throne of judgment. Nothing. And I know a lot of people, they go through and they talk about all the tribulations in the book of Revelation, and even in that passage in Matthew chapter 24, it talks about after the tribulation, and they are more fearful of the tribulation than the great tribunal of the Lamb of God. And that disappoints me greatly. The wrath of the Lamb. You think about that just for a moment. What a paradox. What an oxymoron. I mean, an animal is one of the most tame and gentle domestic animals there is. And yet they're running to the rocks and the mountains, asking the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the Lamb, from the wrath of the Lamb. I want us to just pause for a minute. Let me say this. Our survival, your survival on that day depends upon your relationship to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. Do you realize that in the book of Revelation, the word lamb is used more than any other book of the Bible? I mean, you would think lamb, you think Leviticus, or you think Numbers or Deuteronomy. No, the word lamb is used more times in the book of Revelation than any other book. Jesus Christ is constantly and perpetually presented to us as the lamb that was slain. It was only the Lamb that was slain that was able to unlock and open the seals and look thereon. The Lamb that was slain was the one that was worthy of all wisdom and honor and power and glory. All of creation is summons to praise the Lamb of God. The Lamb, over and over again, is mentioned in the book of Revelation. There's a war that is unfolded in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. They warred with the Lamb. But listen, the saved overcame those that warred with him and those that followed him. And the Bible says the saved follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Why? Because they have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And they're anticipating that glorious day of the great marriage of the Lamb, where the wife, the church of the Trinity God, is revealed before all of creation and all the world as the bride's wife. Actually, as the Lamb's wife. Yeah, the Lamb's wife. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the Lamb is the light of that city. The Bible says He's the temple in the city of the New Jerusalem. The Bible says that if you don't have your name written down in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be cast in the eternal abyss. This Lamb stuff's important in the book of Revelation. Listen, all of our lives we're drawn to this end on how we've dealt with Jesus. There's a lot of folks that believe Jesus is a good person, or that he was a prophet, or he was like Muhammad, or something like that. There's people that think, you know, Jesus, he was a wonderful moral person that taught us morals and ethics and laws. No, listen, folks, Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He was introduced to the world by John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ as a sacrificial lamb. Him being an atonement for your sins. That's important, amen? So you have two people, two groups. You have the goats and the sheep. You have the saved and the lost. Those that deal with Jesus in His wrath and those that have experienced Him as a lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. I believe this day's much greater than Father Day. I think it's the Lord's Day. I mean, it's the day of the King. It's the day of retribution, the day of judgment, the last day. The Bible talks about this day, amen? It's coming. The Lord's coming with power and great glory. And folks, you need to be ready for His coming. The only way to get ready for His coming is to repent of your sins and believe on Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. To know Him as your atonement. To know Him as your Redeemer. To know Him in the expiation of your sins. To know Him as a Lamb that cancels your sin debt. Have you ever experienced that in your life? Where your sins are blotted out by the blood of Jesus? If you've not experienced that, that's the only way to be ready for the wrath of the Lamb. Wrath has reference, the word wrath has reference to retribution. You know, and I thought about this phrase, wrath of the Lamb. Retribution for what? Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 11, I believe it is. He said in John chapter 3 that this is condemnation that has come upon the world. Light has come into darkness or come into the world. And the darkness seems like it doesn't comprehend it or doesn't receive it, doesn't respect it. Doesn't admire it, doesn't turn to the light that has been given to it. The world, he said, he went on and said, there's condemnation. Condemnation because people of the world, they love darkness rather than light. The problem is people love sin more than they want to be saved. That's the bottom line. Coming to the Lamb. I've experienced that in my life. I've experienced the wonderful effects of the Lamb upon my soul. I know what it means to pass from death unto life. I know what it means to be born from above. I read this Bible about people being regenerated and transformed and becoming new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I can relate that to my own experience because I've come to the Lamb of God. I've experienced that transformation that comes because of the change that occurs deep down in the soul. Where you come to know the Lord, where you pass from death unto life. Listen, folks, you're going to stand before the wrath of the Lamb. Are you going to be able to survive it? We're going to be talking about surviving the day of judgment. What are you trusting in on the day of judgment when all of your sins are laid out before you? And do you realize that one transgression, one iniquity, one wrong move, one sin will condemn you eternally? One sin. One sin. When all of that is laid out, but you've committed more than one sin. Amen? You sure have. When all that is laid out at the day of judgment, will you be able to stand? Listen, only those that trust in Jesus will be able to stand. I know Him in His sacrificial death at Calvary. I know Him in the forgiveness of sin. I know Him in the expiation, the propitiation that He provided on the cross of Calvary, on Golgotha's hill, to eliminate my transgressions and give me an opportunity to come into the presence of a holy God. One of these days, you're going to stand before the wrath of the Lamb. And the question is this: will you be able to survive? Only those that know Him in a relationship as a Lamb will survive. Others will experience His fiery wrath. In Romans chapter 2, the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord. And He says, impenitent people, people who won't repent, verse 5, Romans 2 and 5, people who won't repent and turn to God, they're storing up wrath against the day of wrath. I'm talking about the righteous judgment of God when all of humanity is summoned before the great white throne, both small and great, living and dead, and when the books are open and the book of life is open. The question is this morning, will your name be written in there? Do you know when your name's written in the Lamb's book of life? Amen. He told His disciples this one thing. We know is that our name is written down in glory. Aaron, get a song. Will you be able to survive? That's what we're talking about all week. Just being able to survive that day, that judgment, that calamity, that tragedy in the end. When the world is wrapped up in fire. When the stars fall from heaven. When the moon turns to blood. When the sun is as black as sackcloth. Will you be ready for the coming of the Lord when He comes in power and great glory? When He comes with vengeance upon those who have not responded? Don't you realize the reason for the wrath is because you did not respond to Jesus. You did not respond to Jesus. He came to this world. He went to the cross of Calvary. He sacrificed Himself for you. And you will end up in eternal lake of fire if you reject the only begotten Son of God. Hell is awaiting those that reject the loving mercies of God in Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're sitting in this church house today, and the question is, are you going to reject the sacrifice that Jesus made at Calvary? Go ahead and stand to your feet. He went up Golgotha with you on His mind. He went there to pay the sin debt for you. He went there to pay the price for iniquity and transgression. He went to the cross and He bore your sins on Golgotha's hill. The Bible says He bore our sins in His own body. The Bible says He became sin for us. Who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him? He went there dying for you. Thing that differentiates between wrath and the Lamb, knowing Him in His wrath or knowing Him as the Savior. That's what it is. Bottom line, I know Him as my Savior. He is my shepherd. He is my redeemer. He is my all in all. He is my love. He is my refuge. He is my high tower. He's my buckler. He is my Savior today. Is He your Lord and Savior? The question will be asked on the day when He comes, in your mind and in your heart, will I be able to stand? And no, you won't if you're not right with the Lord. And so as we sing a verse of some song, there may be somebody here that needs to be saved. Come. Come and experience eternal life. Come be ready for that day as we sing.